Good morning, everybody. So yeah, I've been kind of busy these past 2 weeks, so I was having a little trouble trying to figure out exactly the structure of this sermon, but hopefully it'll go okay. So pretty much I've been to, I don't know, like four or something memorial services before, and seen some people die around me, but I've been to, a couple of memorial services for elderly people, one of them for a teenager who died in a car wreck. But none of these people were really that close to me. Just 2 weeks ago, a little more than 2 weeks ago, I found out my grandfather's in really bad shape, so I went back home to Florida. And then eventually, long story short, when I was there in the hospital, eventually 6 months turned into a week or two, turned into about 2 days. And so when I was there, my grandfather passed away last week on Saturday. And that was like the first death of somebody that was actually close to me. I've seen a lot of other people die before. You know, I've thought about the other Bible verses and those things. But it's one of those moments that makes it really real. Because I've heard a lot of stories, and I've seen a lot of people in churches over the years, and people have died there, you know. But it's never really been somebody close to me, and it's always been much easier. But then this time, it was my grandfather who was really close to me. Close to all of us in our family in the States here, my dad's side. And so it was one of those, really interesting moments, I guess you could say, where I could think about my faith and think about certain things. Like, for example, I got to see my grandmother kind of break down and weep, and my aunt cry, my parents cry, and just everybody else just kind of get really sad. It's a situation that I haven't really seen before in my family, because there's somebody close. You know, to see my grandfather, who I grew up with, who I've known my whole life, in that situation. And I thought a lot about things, too. For example, in Romans 12:15, it went backwards. In Romans 12:15, Paul writes, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." So I thought weeping, you know, that's one of the verses that popped in my head. Weeping isn't inherently a bad thing. There are times we should be mourning, we should be weeping, we should be sad. And so, you know, did a lot of crying there, did a lot of sadness and that kind of things as he passed away. But another verse also popped into my head as well. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 14. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." And so, on one hand, Paul writes that we should weep with those who weep. But on the other hand, we don't grieve, we don't mourn, we don't weep as people that don't have any hope. And that's one of those contexts where my grandfather passed away recently that I could really see whether that verse really meant something to me or not. Because a lot of times you listen to a lot of Bible verses, and it all sounds good and easy, but once it happens, that's the test of whether it's really true. There was that one saying, "Men are like tea bags. You don't know how strong they are until you put them in hot water." It's kind of a silly expression, but it's kind of true. You don't know how prepared you are. You don't know how strong you are. You don't know how good you are until you get into that situation. When I was growing up, I used to like to watch a lot of fighting movies, a lot of action movies. So in my brain, I would imagine all these scenarios where I could beat up like a whole army of people. But of course, in real life, I know that if that were to happen to me, and some whole mob of people attack me, I would be thoroughly beaten very quickly. Because it was just in my head. But I think a lot of times as Christians, though, before these scenarios come, we're kind of like that. But we're overconfident. When we read Bible verses and we think, oh, yeah, you know, we have eternal life. We have salvation. Hooray, whatever, believers are saved. And it's only times when something serious comes out does it actually reveal that, is that verse really part of you or not? Or is it just something that you just, it's upstairs, but it's not really in your heart? And in this case, when my grandfather passed away, it's a time where this verse, I realized, really became real. For example, the night that he passed away was on Saturday. He passed away about 8:50 p.m. that night in his room, or in one of the rooms in his house. And everybody was really sad, of course. And my uncle said, as Christians, we believe that, you know, he's got hope, he's got life. And the thing is that at this moment, we can't act like he's got no hope. As Christians, we've got to live out our faith. Of course, it was in Mandarin. I didn't really understand it. That's the translation I later got. So in this really situation, in this dire circumstance where Grandpa just passed away for minutes, in this situation, are we going to live out our faith? Or are we going to weep and mourn as if we're never going to see him again? Are we going to weep and cry and just be so sad as if he's gone? Because I know that he's a believer. We all know that he's a believer in our family. And in this situation, we have a choice. Do we live out our faith in this situation? Do we believe and act like we will see him again? That this is only a temporary situation. Do we believe that he's in a better place? He's with God. Do we believe in this case that he will not have to suffer with diabetes or dialysis and high blood pressure and all these things again? Do we believe that he's in a place that's much better than here? Do we believe that he's with God? Do we believe in all these scriptural things? And it's easy to be at home, you know, in a good situation to say, I believe that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when somebody close to you dies, does it make your heart peaceful? That's one of the things that I found interesting, is that when my grandfather passed away, I was relatively at peace. A lot of people ask, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I mean, more or less. On one hand, I really miss him. I want to see him again. But on the other hand, I have peace. I know that he's not suffering. I know he's not in pain. I know he's with God. And I believe it. And because of that, I have a definite peace in my heart. So I'm okay with it, you know. In a way, I'm almost happy that he passed away. Because now he doesn't have to suffer. He gets to be with the God that he's served for the past, like, I don't know how long he's been serving God. He loved to sing hymns. I know that now he's passed away, he's going to be singing with the heavenly choir now. I know that he's passed away now. He doesn't have to worry about suffering. He doesn't have to worry about pain. He's with the God that he loves. And because of that, even though he died, I'm okay with that. Because he's with God. And it's one of those moments that really makes you think, do I really believe the things that I say in church? Do I really believe these Bible verses? Because a lot of times we just say that we believe it. But when push comes to shove, when the hard times come, the question is, does it make your heart okay? And this verse popped in my head, that I don't want to grieve and weep as if he's totally gone. I mean, we could grieve and weep because we miss him, but at the same time, we know that he's going to come back. We know that we're going to see him again. We know he's going to stay forever with them eventually. And that it's not all over. And that really made my heart feel better. And so the passage I picked is from Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. And then Jesus is telling all these things to the disciples and to the crowd. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? And sometimes when we come to Jesus and we ask him things, we call him God. But the question is, do we act like he's God? Do we treat him as God? Do we listen to him? We call upon him, but do we follow him? When he tells us things like, I'm the life, I'm the truth, right? I am the way for eternal salvation. Do we listen to him? So in this case, when my grandfather passed away, the question was, am I going to live and obey Christ? Am I going to listen to what he said, or am I going to weep and mourn? Or am I going to trust what he said and believe what he said was real? He continues and he says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house is great. See, when it comes to following and listening to and following God's words, we're building a foundation. We're building a house, so to speak. And so when bad times come, we can withstand it. And I realized if I didn't study God's word before, and this bad thing happened to my grandfather, I probably would have broken down. We all probably would have broken down a lot more. But it is only by listening to Christ's words and abiding in him and following him that we stand a chance, that we don't get just knocked down and crashed down. And that's one of the differences between non-Christians and Christians, or strong Christians and weak Christians. When bad things happen, do you follow Christ? Have you built your foundation yet? Or have you just been living life, building on fluff? So when bad things happen, you get toppled. So I try to make up like a format for this thing. It was really tough, but I guess just bear with me. First of all, we must obey Jesus. I mean, that's all part of love. A lot of people just say, I love God, I love Jesus, but there's not really any substance to it. They don't really go anywhere with it. But as Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? So a lot of people say that I love Jesus, I love God. But God is saying, Jesus is saying, as what I think Howard Hendricks paraphrased it as, either do what I tell you to do or don't say that you love me. You can't do both. You can't love God and not follow him. So the thing is that, first of all, when we say that we're Christians, do we listen to what Jesus says? Do we follow him? Do we obey him? In John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In 2 John 6, John writes, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. The idea is that if we love God, we will follow him. We will listen to him. We will obey him. And that's one of those really important things. When we build our foundation, our house, it's from obeying God and faithfully doing so. It's not just like, oh, you know, I just feel nice things about God, therefore God's going to protect me and I'm all good and strong. Rather, it's out of obedience. The author of Hebrews writes, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, the notion isn't that you obey Christ and therefore he saves you, but rather you have his salvation, therefore you obey him. That those two are intricately intertwined. So that if you're saved, you will obey him. So the first and foremost thing as Christian life is, do you obey Christ? I'm not the perfect one by far, but at least I've seen that following Christ, to some degree at least, has really helped out my life. In this situation, that following Christ over these years, that knowing God, really helped out in the situation where my grandfather passed away. That following Christ during this time, it gave me peace. It gave me happiness. It gave me joy. Even though it was hard, that obedience, you know, you have to follow Christ. Because a lot of times people just want to love God but not follow God. But in the Bible, you can't do that. You got to follow God. So we are being built up. The notion of being built up is, the question is, what are we being built upon? For example, Dallas Willard writes that everybody is spiritually formed in some way, shape, or form. We are being spiritually formed. And he writes in his book, I think it was Spirit of the Disciplines, that even terrorist bombers are being spiritually formed. Everybody is being spiritually formed in some way or shape or form. We are all being built up. The question is, what are we being built upon? What is our foundation? What is the source? That Jesus says that whoever comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The idea is that if we listen to Christ as we are spiritually formed, it's as if somebody builds a house. And of course, this is in a desert area with a lot of sand. In Jesus' time, it's a sandy place. And so if you build your house on sand, we know that when water comes, sand is not very strong. So therefore, this guy dug a really deep pit and found rock underneath the sand and built his house connected to that solid rock on the bottom. And that if you listen to Christ's words and if you follow him, if you do what he says, you got a foundation of a rock. But if you build your house without listening to him, without obeying him, it's like building on sand. If you guys, I grew up in Florida, we had beaches, and we went to the beaches every now and then. If you build a sandcastle, that thing is flimsy as anything. You plop it up, you shape it up, and it's made out of sand, and just water comes and knocks it down. You can just kick it, step on it, knock it down. But if it's like a piece of solid rock, you can't do that. So when Christ says that if you follow him and you listen to his teachings, it's like building your house on solid rock. It's like being thorough. It's not just building it on rock. Jesus says that the guy digs deep, finds a solid rock, and builds upon it. And then Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians 3:2, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So my question for you all is, what is your foundation of your life built upon? What is your house? What is your life built upon? Imagine your life as the house. What's holding your house up? What's keeping your house from like getting washed away? What's keeping it there? Is it Jesus Christ or is it something else? Is it following Christ? Is it listening to Christ? Is it obeying His word? Is that the foundation of your life, or is it something else? Is the foundation of your life your money? Do you feel that your money, your wealth, can keep you away from the troubles in life? Do you feel that perhaps your luck, your skill, your ability, do you feel those things can get you by in life? Are those the foundation of your life? Is the foundation of your life built upon another loved one? A husband or a wife, a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Are those what are keeping you up? Are those what is your foundation? Or is it Jesus Christ? One illustration I really liked at one of the camps long ago in Dallas was the speaker talked about building storm shelters. You know, like in certain places you have tornadoes. And so in order to resist tornadoes, you got to build storm shelters, right? Storm cellars, those kind of things, little bunkers. In Florida, we have a higher building code than a lot of the other country. It's specifically geared toward hurricanes. In order to build houses in certain places, you need to have like a category, I think it's category 2 or category 3 glass. The windows of your house need to be a certain strength. And they got to do some special construction to the roofs and things like that in your house. And following and obeying Christ is like weatherproofing your house. It's building a storm cellar. It's building a deep foundation. It's hurricane-proofing your house. And a lot of times, people kind of run to God when the bad times come, right? When disaster strikes, when a loved one dies, when there's a sickness, when there's some suffering, we like to run to God in those situations. But that's kind of absurd. Imagine a tornado is bearing down upon you, and then you decide to build a storm cellar. I mean, that'd be absurd. A hurricane is coming. A hurricane is like a day out. And now you're going to weatherproof your house? Now you're going to replace your windows? And now you're going to like reinforce your house? A storm is coming. Now you're going to like lift up your house, dig out the sand, and build a new foundation, and then put your house back on it before the storm hits. I mean, that would be absurd. It's in these times of peace, in these times of happiness, that we have to be building up our foundation of listening to and obeying God. We can't just run to God when disaster strikes because we have no foundation. And I think a lot of Christians, and I mean, I'm probably guilty of this myself every now and then, of being a foxhole Christian, that we run to God only when disaster strikes. But if we don't build our foundation on Christ first, we're building our house on sand. And if we build our house without a foundation, it's really hard to get rid of that house and to rebuild the foundation. So it's always good to build the foundation first. So we are being built up. What is your foundation then? Is it on Christ? Are you building a solid foundation, a storm shelter, reinforcing that house so it stands the hurricanes? Are you building yourself up so that when disaster strikes, you have God there? Because when my grandfather passed away, certain Bible verses like this one that were stuck in my head really, really helped me out. So that I didn't have to go, oh, my grandfather's about to pass away. My grandfather's died. I have to whip out a Bible verse and find Bible verses and learn some new ones so that it'll help me out. Rather, it's already in my heart so that when that happened, the Holy Spirit just has to point it out and go, hey, remember this verse? And I go, oh, yeah, I do. It really makes me feel better now. Thank you. So is it like that? Is this stuff in your heart, right? As Jesus said that you need to abide in Him. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. That during this peace time, during this not disaster time, are you abiding in Christ? Are you growing in Him? Are you learning about Him? Are you just waiting for the disaster to strike? It's like a story of the three little pigs, right? You have two foolish pigs and one strong pig, one smart pig. The thing is that the wolf's going to come at any moment now. What's your house going to be made of? Is it going to be out of brick, straw, or hay? And I hope it's going to be built upon the foundation of Christ, and so it'll be a strong house that will withstand the storms. So importantly, we've got to internalize all this thing by spending time with Christ, by spending time in the Word, by spending time with God. We become stronger. We have faith. We have a whole artillery ammo of Bible verses to help us in our troubles. So what is your foundation being built up? Are you spending time conscientiously building up a foundation? Not just memorizing a Bible verse here and there for whatever purpose, but rather memorizing Bible verses, getting close to God with the purpose of being built up stronger and stronger in Him, as opposed to just doing it as a passive thing. Thirdly, we will be hit by storms. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. When the stream broke against it, however, this is referring to the sand house, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. A lot of the ancient times, you get streams that, like you get a torrential rain on a mountainside kind of thing, and the water just comes down and whoosh and hits stuff. Or sometimes in certain areas, maybe the river floods over and knocks over a lot of stuff. You get flash floods in certain areas, and it just knocks down stuff. And this story that Jesus tells, the wise man, the man who built this house on Christ, the river rushed and hit the house, but it couldn't shake it because the house got well built. But the man who built this house on sand, that sand just gave way, that house collapsed. And Jesus says that, and the ruin of the house is great. The house just went boom. In our lives, disaster will strike. We're all mortal people. We all will die. I will die someday. You all will die someday. We all will die someday. That is a given, right? There's crime all over this place, right? People get shot or killed or traffic accidents all the time. I mean, that's just the blunt truth. And that all these things are happening to us. There will be disaster. It will strike you someday. That's just the truth. Whether it be soon or later, I don't know. But sometime in your life, disaster will strike. And the question is, what will your foundation be? When disaster strikes, will you get totally knocked down? Will you be crushed? Will you be destroyed? Or will you come out of it on top? Will you come out stronger? Will you become better because of foundation with Christ? I mean, that's one of the things that happened with my grandfather, too. I anticipated that he'd pass away around January, December. And then when the doctor told us some more stuff, I thought he'd die in another week or two. And then when the nurse kind of gave us a more update, turns out he died in 2 days. You know, it just struck really hard. I didn't have time to build a shelter. I didn't have time to go, oh, I have 2 days. I better get close with God. I better go memorize some Bible verses. I better go do some stuff now. I have 2 days. I better make it quick, you know. But rather, it's over years that have to be built up, and only that can help you out. So I want you guys to realize that you will be hit by storms. And what is your foundation? What are you built upon? What's holding you up? And I think it's just such an important question, because a lot of us just like to live a peaceful life. We kind of like to put God on the, you know, put him on the side, put him on the shelf. He's kind of like an emergency fire extinguisher, right? Break glass in case of fire. Or like when you ride an airplane, there's like the emergency slide. God's like an emergency slide. You know, the flight attendant tells you how to do it, and you know how to do it, but you just sit there and like you just ignore it. I don't spend my flight going, ooh, when am I going to pull the switch? Brother, there's something kind of in the back of your mind. And I think that's how a lot of people treat God. That's how we treat Jesus. It's as if, oh, thank you, Jesus, you saved us. You know, I got my ticket to heaven, thank you. I'm just going to put this in my pocket, and I'll see you later. As opposed to like, you're currently living with God, being with God, with your life, and building up your foundation. I mean, this sermon is going to be kind of short. I don't really have too much time to plan all this stuff, but I mean, it's something that just really hit me, you know. That this thing happened to me, I didn't expect it to happen. And that it did happen, and I'm so glad that I had spent time with God over the years, and that it really helped protect me. It really helped make me stronger. And I just hope that all of you guys will consider, what is your foundation? Are you spending time with God in a constant way? Are you building up your foundation? Are you building your life upon Christ? Because your money will let you down. Your wife or husband, if you trust them for everything, they will let you down. If your ability, your talent, your skill, your smarts, whatever, those things will eventually let you down. Something is going to happen, and the only thing that will save you is God. And that we have to constantly seek God, obey God. Otherwise, imagine if we were just a friend that only shows up. We only show up when bad things happen. I'm sure you all know those kind of people. Those people in your life where you never talk to them, they never see you, they never talk to you, but they only approach you when something bad is happening. Right? They only come to you when they need to borrow money. They only come to you when they need to copy your homework. They only come to you when something bad happens. And are you like that with God? Do you only come to God when something bad happens? Or are you somebody who is always with God? So when something bad happens, you don't need to go to God because God's already with you. You're already with him. So I guess with a lot of us too, I mean, you know, bad things happen. You know, a lot of us got sad because Grandpa's no longer with us. But we miss him a lot. You know, we miss him a lot. But at the same time, The storm came, man. Like, I'm still here. I feel stronger. I feel better. I feel happy that he's with God. And it made really real. It was really real to me. So I got some application points for this thing. Are you spending regular time with God? That's a really important application point. Spend regular time with God. Spend time in his word. Because when temptation hit Christ, what did Christ do to set an example for us? When the devil came and tempted him in his time of suffering, when the devil tempted him when he was hungry, what did Jesus do? He used scripture against the devil. I mean, if it works for Jesus, you know, like, Jesus is using scripture and it's good enough for him. I hope it's good enough for me. Read your word. Read your Bible regularly. Study it. Because if I had never really studied my Bible, I would not have thought about this passage. I would not have thought about that verse in 1 Thessalonians. I would not have thought about those things at those when the disaster struck, because I had not read the Bible. But because I have read the Bible and studied it, I haven't studied the whole thing, but at least I'm studying it. These kind of verses can be popped up in my head in times of need. So, read your word. That's really important. Secondly would be, do you pray to God? Do you develop a relationship with God? Work on that. Develop that. Build up your foundation with God so it's a relationship. That God isn't just a vending machine. He isn't just a fire extinguisher, put up your fires. He isn't a vending machine to go up to and insert a prayer and he gives you something. God is a person that wants to get to know you. God wants to get close to you. And when disaster strikes, if you're closer to God, if you're close to God during that situation, you don't need to run to God because you're already with God. You don't need to go find God. When disaster strikes, God is already there with you because you spend time with him. He's right beside you. And if you spend more time with him, you realize that God is always right there for you. So I guess the final application point of question would be, what is your foundation built upon? Is it built upon Christ? Is it built upon God's word? Is it built upon a healthy relationship of obedience and love of God? Or is it built on something else? Because disaster will strike. You will get hit with something. I guarantee it. Something will happen to you someday or to those around you. What is your foundation built upon? When the storms hit, will your house be there or will you get knocked down? So make sure that you spend your time with God. I'm so thankful that I did, that this situation could have been a ton worse. But I came out a lot stronger. I came out on top. The storm came, but I didn't get shaken. And only that, it's only that by God's grace that I came out like this. So I guess consider that. What is your foundation made of? What is it built upon? What is your life centered around? What's holding it up? And work from there. I thank you, Father, for just being there for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such clear teachings, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for sending us your Son to teach us so much about you, Father, and to get us access to you, Father. I pray that all of us will consider with sober minds what our lives are built upon, Lord. That I pray that all of us will build our lives upon you as our foundation, Lord. And I pray that when disaster does strike, that we'll come out on top. That when disaster strikes, Lord, we'll be faithful to you and just prove that building upon you is the only way to go, Father. And I pray that anybody else in here who hasn't built a foundation on you will consider that as well. And I pray that all of us, if we have built a foundation on Christ, myself included, that if there's anything else that's holding us up, maybe every now and then, that I pray that that doesn't happen, that you remove those other things, Lord. And I pray that you'll be there for all of us. Whenever disaster strikes, Lord, whether soon or near or somewhere down the line, Lord, that you'll be there for us and that you'll be near us, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for being there for us and to being such a loving God and to being, I mean, just supportive of us and to strengthening us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.